With that, help me welcome Nikki from Baltimore. I'm an addict. My name is Nikki. And I don't know why y'all ain't at breakfast or sleep, because I was hoping for an empty room. And y'all fooled me like y'all always do, you know. And I say that because I had said when I first came in, I was nervous. And so a very enlightened member told me that I wasn't nervous, I was excited. And I said, no, I ain't say that. and so, you know, and what I'm sharing about is that if you told me what I was, then that's what I was, right? If you said, no, you happy, you all right, you know, then I went with your opinion, because your opinion is definitely right and mine is wrong. Because I don't have no internal knowledge to know who I am or what I am. So I'm the chameleon. I'm going to be whatever the group say be, you know, whatever the person says. You know, even, and today I try to ask everything, right? Like, I'm from Baltimore originally. West Side, you know, that's where I'm from. But I've been living in Columbia, Maryland for a long time. So I say, you know, when you say where you from, where I from? Am I, you know, Baltimore slash... You know, and so, Robert, I was laughing about it because today I want to know, like, what's the right way to do it? Or give me, you know, give me some information. But when I first came in, I was like, Miss What's-Her-Name. I had an answer to everything. I made up answers, you know, all that about we want your experience. I gave my opinion. Didn't you need my opinion? You know, and so after being here a while, I value people's experience, you know. And so when they asked me about the topic, seeking spirituality, I always tried to stay away from sharing on meetings on spirituality, because I thought you're supposed to levitate, you know, if you're talking about spirituality. I ain't want to curse, because profanity is not a sign of spiritual growth. You know, I mean, it was a lot of pressure to talk about spirituality. And I was like, oh, hell no, I ain't hurt. And so I would stay away. Then, well, you do, nope, not doing that one. Nope, you know. And so when I looked at it, it said seeking, searching. It didn't say done. It didn't say I'm here. It said move, you know, moving towards, right? And so that sort of gave me some hope and reminded me of what my purpose is. Because I am seeking. I am searching. When I first read the topic, I was thinking about, my mind goes to music all the time. I got a song through recovery for every situation, you know, and my mind went to, I'm seeking for, you know, I need a theme song all the time to keep moving. And so what it said to me was that as long as I stay in this process, and as long as I ask the God of my understanding for some help. And not your God, right? Because I came in here with everybody's God. It didn't matter. You know, I done lit a candle. I done said Om Yang Rakyo. I done been to the mosque. I done, you know, been a Catholic, been on my knees, up, down, you know, because I was just that beat that I knew that religion was what was going to save me, right? Because I thought that was my only way. And when I came here and y'all were using the word like spirituality, damn, y'all let me off the hook. Because I couldn't seem to tap into religion, right? And I always wanted to be defiant anyway. And so what religion said to me was rules. You got to do it this way, believe that way. If you ain't, then you ain't getting it, right? And so when I came in here, and y'all start talking about spirituality, and that God, my personal relationship, could look like, feel like, be like, talk like, I mean, I could even cuss God the hell out if I ain't like what was going on. That was a relief, you know, that because I didn't come from that. You know, where I came from, you seen and not heard, you disrespectful, you know, you don't question anything, right? And, you know, and you was talking about your mom, I can remember, you know, I'm an only child, and I say that with a badge of honor, because I remember at 5, I told them, I don't want no more brothers and sisters. If y'all contemplating having some more, I'm good. I don't want to share. I don't want to discuss. I don't want to compete. I want just me. I want to be the sole center of attention. Right. And so evidently they listened, and I was good with that, you know. But later on, my father decided to go out and do some more research, and he brought home a boy, right, and this with the other wife and a whole bunch of other people. So I got some steps, some minuses, and some pluses that I didn't bank for, you know. Okay, it's good, you know. And so, you know, but I was thinking about, you know, when I was coming up, my mother used to dress up me for, like, times a day. I don't know if she thought I was a doll or, you know, or what the deal was. I had morning play clothes, and we didn't come from no money, right? I'm talking about just a person that worked hard. She made clothes. She made my clothes. But she, like, dressed me for occasions, right? And I was never supposed to act like anything was wrong, right? She was more fake it till you make it before y'all said it. So no matter what's going on, you ain't supposed to tell it. You're supposed to put this mask on and wear that, right? And so when I first came in here and y'all was talking about fake it till you make it, that was comfortable for me because I had been faking it all along, right? I never wanted to tell people how I really, really felt. I never wanted to tell people that I didn't like being the tallest one in class. I never liked to tell people that I didn't smile because my teeth were crooked because I sucked my thumb. I never wanted to tell people that my parents was in the house fighting and they hated each other and wouldn't separate. I never wanted to tell people that because I was an only child. It looked like I had everything from the outside. What is your real problem? And I was dying on the inside. You know, make pretending. Always. You know, I even had make-pretend friends. And all my make-pretend friends got along. Yeah. Right. You know, and so what happened as a result of that is when I had to interact with you all, I didn't know how to, like, be mad, be glad, you know, have emotions, how to interact. I didn't know how to do anything but go inside, you know, and to withdraw. And so, you know, as time went on, drugs was perfect. It was a perfect fit for me. And it didn't make me more sociable by no means. I wasn't that girl. You know, I always wanted to be the girl that was outgoing and stuff like that. What drugs did and alcohol did for me was help me continue to push people away. You know, I went inside. I was the one where they partying on the outside, but I'm in another room. Right. I just didn't have that skill. You know, and in the end, I was by myself, like I started. So I was a school teacher in Baltimore. I taught kindergarten. Love cut, paste, ABC. Love them 5-year-olds more than anything, right? And so in that classroom, what I proceeded to do was use. While them kids was out there supposed to be coloring and cutting and pasting, I was in the art closet getting it in, you know, and I had picked a little boy to put the tape in, and another little boy turned the pages. I told him to read quick. So he can read the story to the class. We got skills, you know. And so I proceeded to get high in Baltimore City in that classroom for a good long time. And I can remember asking, you know, God, please, this ain't what I want to do. I always wanted to be a school teacher. You know, I knew it from way back when. And what I was doing was not fulfilling the wish that I wanted. You know, and I'd like to tell you all that, you know, I went to EAP and told them that I had a drug problem. No, they came to me and told me that you got a problem. I was like, really? You know. And we need you to go do something. And so I went in there to the EAP counselor and I talked about that husband. I talked about everybody else had a problem but me. Right? And so, you know, I couldn't get honest. And I couldn't get no help early. So, you know, as time went on, you know, a few more things happened. The bottom fell out, and I ended up in treatment. You know, I don't know why I keep thinking of this funny story. I can remember teaching school, and my husband and I were beefing. You know, that man that you, for me, I had said, I love, I wish, I will to the end of the earth. And in the end, I hope he took a hit and just died. You know, in the end, just don't get up, you know. And I can remember leaving the school and we was battling over the car. We had separated. We was battling over the car. And I walked out. I was like, is that my car with no tires? I said, oh, well. You know, I walked on by like it wasn't even my car, right? And just proceeded to do so. All that just reminded me of was how sick, you know, I really, really was, and just how much I didn't want to admit, you know, that I had a problem. But, you know, after the bottom fell out and I went to my first outpatient, this man talked about you have to get spiritual. And there he is, you know, in this white dude, and we somewhere down in Baltimore where the little stream is something, you know, it's a little water babbling brook, and right, and he in there with his Birkenstocks with socks on drinking coffee. Now sandals with socks is a fashion no-no. So I'm focused only on why has he got on these socks with these sandals. Then he trying to save my life, talking about spirituality. And he just, it was like he was singing it and floating it. And I was like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about, right? You know, and so I continued to use some more. And until finally, you know, and I was laughing with this lady. She was saying she was from Richmond. My first meeting was in Richmond. I mean, I had been to other meetings before, but I think that was the first meeting there where I had sort of kind of was beginning to surrender. And I went to that meeting, and it was a candlelight meeting, and I was so glad, because I ain't want to look at y'all, and I ain't want y'all to look at me. And so I was in that meeting, and I can remember asking God to help me, you know, to say that. And I can remember for the first time feeling like this is my God that I'm asking, you know. And I would like to say that that was the last time, but it wasn't. And it wasn't until it was a bunch of asking that finally I surrendered. You know, when I came in, it was September 1990, and I went to the Crownsville Hospital, and I couldn't figure out why the treatment center's on the grounds of the crazy hospital. I didn't understand what crazy and drugs had to do with one another. I was like, this must be a mistake. They renting rooms here or something. And, you know, and I rolled in with my, I still had a sports car. It had a donut tire on it. I had been riding that donut. You're supposed to ride to the gas station, right? And I had a hole in the muffler, so I turned the radio up so y'all wouldn't hear my muffler, right? You know, and I'd be like, you know, acting like ain't nothing really wrong. And I rolled in that treatment facility, and the lady was asking me, you know, do you have a problem with this, and this? I said, is this heifer gonna ever ask me something? You know, do you use by yourself? Do you use in the morning? Do you use at night? I'm like, when's she gonna ask me something I can say no to? You know, and so I decided that this wasn't for me, you know, and I was gonna leave out, and I would like to tell you that I was gonna pick up my designer luggage. I had matching Glad trash bags, you know, and I was gonna pick up my stuff, and I had left my clothes all over anywhere, so I had no attachment to nothing anymore, right? And I said, I'm out, you know, and I was going to leave. And what I'm talking about in spirituality is this girl called my name. And I looked at her, and she had on, like, these high water pants. She had her hair back in a ponytail, no makeup. And she called my name, and she looked prettier than I had ever seen her look. And all the time we had been out in the street as a, you know, dressed up garbage can. And she said, I've been here for 2 weeks. Don't go. And that's what I believe you all talk about as a spiritual awakening, right? And my first real episode or experience with spirituality was through people. Because God, my God, spoke through her and said, don't leave. And they put us in a room together, and we did something I hadn't done in a long time. We laughed. I don't know about y'all, but in the end, I wasn't laughing. You know, and it was that good girlfriend, snot flying laughter. And that was, you know, the beginning. And I can remember laughing so that the God of my understanding taught me to laugh at myself. You know, because I was always worried about y'all laughing at me. You know how you trip and look around to see? Did they see me? You know, you damn near about to bust your face. You know, did they see me? And what I found was when I found the God of my understanding, you know, the spirituality that tapped into me, God laughs at me all the time. I know the God of my understanding says, she's silly. What is she doing? You know, so I needed that sense of freedom because the God or the spirit that I knew didn't have no sense of humor, you know, didn't allow me to laugh at myself to feel better about myself, didn't allow me to laugh at myself so I could tell you about me, right? Because I was so worried about what people thought, I was dying and couldn't tell you how I was really feeling. You know, I couldn't tell you until after I got here and got the God of my understanding, felt the spirit that I needed, that I felt hurt when my father left us at 14 and left that good woman, my mama, and got a younger, improved model and bought that boy and got that boy, right? I couldn't tell you that he was more at their house than at our house. I couldn't figure out why you would leave a house with three people and go to a house with six and seven people. Shit, ain't that busy? You know, ain't what we got okay? Why you pick them over us? I couldn't tell you that until I got to God of my understanding, right? I couldn't tell you that my mother, she loved me, right? But she was so angry that he left. She was no fun. Clothed, fed, talked to, wasn't a whole lot of hugging no more. Wasn't a whole lot of kissing no more. Because I remind her of him and that he left. I couldn't tell you until I got to God of my understanding that they moved around the corner from us. And I had to sneak over there because I didn't want my mother to think I was disloyal, that I had picked sides and wanted to go visit them. I couldn't tell you till I got the God of my understanding, right, that I always wanted kids, but I had cancer at 23 and couldn't have kids. I couldn't tell y'all, don't invite me to the baby showers, damn it, because I still hurt. I couldn't tell you that until I got the God of my understanding and felt the spirit in me, right? I couldn't tell you some of the stuff that hurt, you know, until God spoke to me and said, these people are here for you. Not all of them. Some going to pick and choose. You're going to get disappointed here. You're going to get hurt here, right? You're going to get all that here. But I got you. The God of not yours, but mine, tells me I got you. Even with my lowest point, you know. It wasn't until I got the God of my understanding that I had got this job. I became employable again. And I had got this job, and it wasn't supposed to be, it was supposed to have been like a internship. And after the internship, they kept me. I couldn't tell y'all until I got to God of my understanding. I thought them people was going to tap me on the shoulder every day and say, she ain't qualified for this job. Why y'all still letting her parking pass work? Right? I'm talking about the fear and the drama on the inside. And yeah, I got a sponsor that's got a sponsor that's got a sponsor. I'm talking about when I'm by myself. Right? I can't always pick up the phone every second. When I'm holding to my ear 24/7, the voices that be tapping me on the shoulder saying, you ain't good enough. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't get this. What are you doing? It ain't until the God of my understanding say, you all right? You all right? Say how you feel. Feel what you feel and keep it moving. Even though you're afraid, keep it moving. You know, and so a lot of stuff has happened. You know, my dad and I, you know, we got better, right? But we didn't get better till the God of my understanding helped me tell him, you hurt me. You left us. You left us. You know, and then adults, we do crazy stuff. They tried to make pretend the little boy was the people's child next door. You know, adults, we confuse the children. Right. All right, why is he next door? He'll never go home. How can he be the little boy from next door? You know, and they ain't want to tell me who he really was. And it wasn't until like 5 years later who I really, you know, and I had to tell my father, you hurt me. You know, and, you know, and yep, I don't know if you can tell people you owe, they owe you an apology, but I said, we got to work through this. And eventually we got better. So when he, you know, he transitioned, you know, as he was transitioning, he was real ill for about 3 or 4 years. And I'm a daddy's girl. I love the pool hall. I loved all them dope fiend OG friends he had. I loved it. I loved them Stacy Adams that he wore. I loved them field trips to the Dan Brothers. You know, and as my father was transitioning, I was there with the ice chips and all that stuff. You know, I'm talking about learning how to shave somebody. I ain't know how to shave. You know, I'm talking about the God of my understanding helped me say, you know, Dad, them teeth looking a little rough. Let me hold them. I was always afraid of his false teeth in the glass, you know, but the God of my understanding helped me take the teeth out of his mouth and brush his teeth. So when he transitioned, I went down, you know, the God of my understanding helped me tell my mother, because we had a rule, even though they wasn't like buds, you know, they weren't allowed to talk bad about neither one. That was the rule, you know, and they say, your father, I say, ah, you're breaking the rule, and I meant that. You know, that was the boundary that my God taught me, that I was tired of being in the middle, right? And so I told my mother, I won't be as available to you. I know I'm the only one, but I want to spend this time with my dad, you know? And she understood. And she understood because you all helped me talk to her in a way that she could hear me, you know? And so, you know, my dad transitioned. He went down and... And you've heard people say it. When I looked out, it was like a meeting at the funeral. People had never met my father, you know. And at the repast, my stepmother said, and they got a funeral committee? I said, what are you talking about? She said, who that white boy serving ham over there? Who that with the turkey? You know, I said, that's my family. That's my other family. You know, that's the family I went more than y'all, for real, you know. And so, you know, when I went down, though, after my dad, after the quiet. And I was there with him when he transitioned right in the room. And, you know, and I got real depressed. And so what I'm going to talk about, you know, at the end is I got very depressed. And I turned over my affairs to a friend, signed power of attorney. And I lost my house. You know, and years clean. We'll come in here and tell y'all that, because y'all don't be kind sometimes. Yeah. You know, what you mean? How you do? What? You? How? You know, y'all be a little rough. It's like, damn, I'm already scarred. Hey, man, give me a minute. You know, how you do that? Why you ain't, you know? And then y'all step back. Oh, we sorry, you know. Let me give you a hug. You know, and I done felt the uppercut, the jab, and everything else, you know. And I lost my house, and I still I did not want to tell it. But thank God for a home group. Thank God for God. You know, thank God for friends. And I did tell it, you know, and I was away for work. I travel a lot for work. And I was away for work when I got the news that I had lost this case about the house. And it was a glass of wine sitting there. I was in a country, you know, where people don't really speak English that much. But and they talk about there's a time when it becomes between you and God, whether or not you're going to use. It's only between you and God. And that glass of wine was sitting there. I looked to the left. I looked to the right. I said, who would know? Who would know? And I looked at it, and it was almost like it was dancing and moving. And I said, it ain't never helped before, so how is it going to help now? How is it going to help now? And I believe that's a direct result of the work of finding a God of my understanding, you know. And so when I got back, my friends helped me. They had moved all my stuff in storage while I was away, because all this happened while I was away. I'm talking about people love you when they move your cat. You know, when people know something is so important to you, right? Because to come back and not have had the cat, that would have been a total annihilation for me, right? And that was enough to give me the hope to start again, right? And I had to move somewhere I didn't want to be. I had to look at some people I didn't want to look at, right? But I had to keep going to meetings, keep talking, keep praying. People called me. They said, baby, you just in the hallway. Just in the hallway. I said, Dad, how long is the hallway? How long is it? Is it going to ever get shorter? And it got shorter. I got better. You know, and I ask God to help me continually, not to judge, not to be angry, not all of that. And I was able to move somewhere where I like, you know, and as opposed to looking at no shade, shenanay in them, right? I look at woods and some birds and squirrels, right? I'm talking about a place that wasn't advertised, a place that the man said, I can give it to you if you got good credit. I said, I lost my house. I don't have no good credit right this minute. He said, you got a job? I said, yeah. He said, I'll give you a chance. I give you a chance. You know, I said, this ain't in my budget. He said, I'll lower it for you. God. Nothing but God. You know, who wants to tell this? Who wants to say this shit with 20 plus years clean? I share it because I thought I was going to die. That's how hurt I was, right? And how stupid I felt. Because I got some degrees and letters and numbers behind my name. And you signed over something and they read. But God said, I got you anyway. Yes. Anyway. You know, and it's just better. You know, when God asked me to do this, I was like, I don't want to talk about this. You know, the last thing that, my last, you know, sort of struggle is my clearance. You know, when you have stuff that shows up, you know, my clearance is in jeopardy. So they denied me. I teach people that work overseas. I've traveled. I came in here with no passport. I got 3, completely full, right? Nothing but God. And my clearance is in jeopardy. And I had to explain all this. So I got a hearing about my clearance, right? And you know, and it would be easy to not be afraid if I like my job. I like what I do. Y'all see, I got personality. I got skills. I like my job. I like my job. I'm just, what's her name, paid for the moment. I like my job, and I would like to keep it. So every morning I go out on the deck, and I say the third step prayer every morning, right? And I say, thank you for whatever. Because I'm going to get through it no matter whatever. Right, because y'all showed me that y'all get through no matter whatever. Do I always like the end result? No. But I can come in here and talk to you about it, and you can walk me through it. So I hope you got something. I thought y'all went to breakfast, but y'all here to save me one more time. Thanks for letting me share.